You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 162 for April 1st, 2015.
Welcome back to the podcast where we talk about running every week. Today is April 1st. I will give the disclosure at the beginning that there's nothing April Fool's related in today's podcast. And interestingly enough, I kind of looked back at the archive, and we always end up recording on April 1st. So the third year in a row. So very strange. But
we'll have to keep that going.
It's a streak, I guess.
Yeah.
So no tricks, no weird things going on today. Today is basically going to be, for the most part, a race recap of the Modesto Marathon, which we were at this past weekend. Mm-hmm. We actually did the half, but there's lots of events, 5K, half, and full.
Right.
So that's going to be the main focus of today's podcast. Pretty much the bulk of it. Just one or two other stories just to mention real quick. And, you know, we'll share our week also. But that's what we got today. So let's jump into it with your week.
I had a pretty good week. It was week 13 of training for Boston to Big Sur.
Which is right around the corner.
I know.
Because we are now in April.
Yes.
So Boston it's this month.
Yeah, it's this month. So a couple days on the bike, a couple days of strength training, 5 days of running, about 51 miles of running, which included 13.1 miles at the race. Mm-hmm. But 2 days before that, which may not be the smartest thing to do, but it worked out okay. 2 days before that, I did a 19.5 mile long run. It was going to be 20 miles, but the way it worked out, I was back at the car at 19.5 miles and I was running a little bit late and had to get somewhere. So those extra 4.5 minutes that it would have taken me, I know that may seem silly right now. I really needed those extra few minutes. So I had to just kind of take off. So, but anyways, did a 19.5 mile long run. Actually even felt a little bit better than I did on my last long run, which was 20 miles, which I felt better than my previous long run, which was like 19 miles, and ran pace-wise a few seconds per mile faster than my 20-miler. What was it, a week before? Two weeks before? I don't even remember now. The week before, actually. It was like 6 days before. So yeah. I was very happy with that. It was a little bit of a warm day, so glad that I got started pretty early in the morning, I guess, for the long run. So yeah, felt pretty good, and actually didn't, I don't think it really affected me for the race 2 days later. So surprisingly, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, definitely a big weekend doing, you know, basically I'll call it a 20 miler. I know it's 19.
Sure. Yeah.
20 miler on Friday and then 13 on Sunday, but it being a race, you ran it, I'm sure. I mean, you didn't go out there to race it, but you know.
But I did run faster than I would have just run 13 miles around the neighborhood or something.
Yeah. So definitely a very tough weekend.
Yeah. I did get my runner's passport for Boston. So that has all the information I need that I have yet to really look at. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's part of like me being in denial that it's coming up. So like if I don't look at it, it's not happening, right? Or the other part, probably the most likely thing is I've just been super busy the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I'm kind of excited over the next couple of days, maybe even this weekend, just spending a lot of time looking at, you know, Boston information. So
get ready for that.
Yeah, get ready for that. Also got, we both got the email from Big Sur, you know, with like the race information. So I mean, it's kind of weird getting like both around the same time, but they are 6 days apart. So
that's what happens when you sign up for that kind of challenge.
Exactly. I mean, it's exciting, but it's getting real, you know, it's getting real. Speaking of races, I did happen to just sign up for another race today, Wharf to Wharf, which is somewhat local. I mean, it's a Northern California race out in Santa Cruz area. Mm-hmm. 6 miler, pretty big race. What did I say? Like 16,000 people?
It's only 16,000.
Yeah, I think that's how many people it is.
Which is very large for a race that is a 6 mile race.
Yeah, but I didn't have it on my radar. A couple days ago, some friends were like, hey, are you guys going to do it? And, you know, it doesn't take too much to convince me to sign up for a race as long as I don't have another race that particular day. So got signed up for that, but that's not until July. So, but just wanted to mention that. My activity streak is still going strong. So 30 minutes of physical activity, at least 30 minutes of physical activity every day.
So you made, you made it through the first quarter of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll keep that going. So yeah, now it's heading into taper mode. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you're officially into your taper now, right? You're doing a full cup.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, that was pretty much my week. How was your week?
So my week, I'm going to call it a good week. I don't know if I should do that or not, but I think last time I discussed kind of dealing with my shin was giving me some problems. I'm calling it shin splints at this point. I'm still going with that diagnosis. I had a run early in the week that I cut short, at least according to my training plan. And then I ended up basically just taking the rest of the week off until the race. Mm-hmm. I kind of went back and forth in my head about what I should do about that. And I even checked in with you and we discussed and kind of thought the best thing was just take a few extra days off and get ready for this half marathon. That way I can maybe perhaps have a better half marathon. And that was the plan. I think the one thing I said was, no matter how I felt at the race or how the rest of the week went, I think I said next week was basically I had to get back into training. And, you know, I kind of had these 2 weeks where the shin was bothering me and I kind of took off. But at this point going forward, I need to basically get my training in no matter how much it hurts, which is not a good necessarily a way to look at it. But yeah, still kind of focused on Eugene, which is, what are we at, 6 weeks away? Something like that. Somewhere around there. Six, seven. I don't know.
Six or seven. Somewhere around there.
I got a couple more weeks coming up of a chance to get some good training in. So we'll see how the leg feels over the next couple weeks. Hopefully I can kind of finish off this training period well. So what else for my week? Allergies have kind of popped up into my life.
Definitely.
It is that time of year. I think after the race on Sunday, my allergies started to kick in. And about a day ago or two ago, they really, my allergies just beat the crap out of me, I guess is the only way to say it. So I had to take some allergy medication. And I think April is going to be that month that just is just a pain to deal with allergies. If you have seasonal allergies, at least with the weather we're having here in California.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I mention? Want to mention, I saw a runner almost get hit by a car.
So that's not good.
That's not good.
Although I guess almost is better than actual.
Very good point. So I'm just bringing it up as a reminder to be cautious and be safe when you're out there running on the roads. I think you have to be I'll call it a defensive runner.
Yeah.
Because it was a situation where a runner was running along. I happened to be stopped at a stoplight. They were running along the street and they actually had a green light to kind of cross the intersection. And a car that was coming to the intersection from their left had a red light, kind of went to the red light, stopped. They looked left, but I don't think they looked right because they were making a right turn.
I've seen that happen so many times.
Yeah, and they just went, and the runner was kind of going, so the runner had to kind of jump half out of the way and yell, and the car had to slam their brakes. And just thankfully nobody was hurt, but just a reminder to be safe. And you know, probably the safest thing to do is when you get to an intersection like that is stop and you know make eye contact.
Yeah, exactly, make sure they see you. Yep.
With the driver and let you know, make sure they know that you're crossing. Even if you have the green light and the right of way, it's much better to stop and be safe. You know, don't worry about, you know, missing out on 10 seconds on your time or anything like that. So just wanted to bring that up. Dan, I think that's kind of it for my week. We'll talk about the race, of course, and share how that went.
Which is part of your week.
Which is part of my week. And probably the race, I mean, I guess I'm alluding to it. The race went pretty well for me. So that's kind of why I still called it a good week. Otherwise, I wouldn't call it a good week. But
got it.
Just want to mention a couple of the races that did happen this past weekend. R&R, we had a lot going on in kind of Northern California.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll San Francisco, which seems to get a lot of TV coverage in the news. I actually saw it pop up on the news.
Yep.
Livermore Half Marathon. Modesto Marathon, which we were at. Barkley Marathons, which is, we'll talk a little bit about that. Hawkeye Marathon and Run the Bluegrass Half Marathon. So first off, Barkley Marathons.
Mm-hmm. So we've mentioned it in the past as a very difficult race out in Tennessee.
Difficult is an understatement, but okay.
Nearly impossible race?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, it's hard to explain, but if you want more information, just Google Barkley Marathons and you'll get a little bit of information because there just isn't a lot of information out there. But it's basically a 100-mile race, five loops of about 20 miles, but it's on this crazy terrain and, you know, the course is not really marked. You have to use your compass and, I mean, it's all these.
Yeah, you're just out there kind of bushwhacking, finding your way. And most years, just like this one, I guess, you don't have a winner or a finisher.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the big news for this year is that there was no finisher of the 100-mile distance.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have what they call their fun run, which is, you know, a shorter distance. But yeah, nobody finished the five loops. Jamil Corey, who some people might recognize the name, went out and did or started the fourth loop, did come back from the fourth loop, but way past the time cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think spent actually about 21 hours out on the fourth loop, which included a, I think like a 7 or 8 hour nap. So yeah, that just kind of puts things in perspective.
Which
in
I don't know if it was a nap or he was just out on his feet and then ended up just having to sleep.
Yeah.
And I think it was, he said, oh, I think I'm going to sit down for this 7-hour nap. It's just kind of what happens after you run for the, you know, the first three loops and you get out on the fourth one. So
right. In 30 years of the race, 14 out of about 1,100 runners have completed the race.
Yeah. So that gives you an idea of how crazy and insane this is. Yeah. I think a couple of years back we had, it was two or three.
Like two, yeah. And it was like, whoa.
And it was an amazing year.
Yeah.
That many people finished.
So. Right. So there's a finish rate of about 1%.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So I just thought it was worth mentioning. I always like reading everything I can about this race, especially since there just isn't much out there. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's part of the...
That's part of the...
The charm of the race?
Yeah, sure.
Or the style of this type of race,
yeah.
I guess.
Yep.
All right. We're going to mention Wharf to Wharf. You already mentioned that. So that's out of the way. So we're going to jump right into the Modesto Marathon.
The only thing I was going to mention is that it actually sold out in 2 hours. I don't think I mentioned that.
Oh, that's right. Wharf to Wharf, 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours. So that's...
Which is pretty amazing for a race that is 16,000 people.
Right.
So quite a demand.
Yes. Yeah. So glad I got in there.
Hopefully not next year. We're not talking a lottery about
this. Oh my gosh. That would be crazy. But okay. Sorry for that. But yeah, heading into Modesto Marathon.
Okay. So let's talk about Modesto. First off, I should say Modesto. Where's Modesto? I know a lot of people haven't heard of Modesto, especially if you're outside of Northern California. So Modesto is actually in California Central Valley, basically the middle of the state. Pretty close if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's not that far. Maybe it's an hour, just over an hour, depending on where from the bay you're coming from. I guess if you're coming from the North Bay, it could be 2 hours.
Yeah.
But also reachable from Sacramento also pretty easily. So yeah, Modesto, this is a weekend where they have a full marathon, a half marathon, and a 5K.
And a half marathon relay.
And that's right.
Yeah.
I saw people out there doing the relay. So
yep.
We actually did the race last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back and did the race again this year.
Yep.
So I guess some of the stuff we'll talk about is kind of a comparison from this year to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what should we start with? We went out to the expo on Saturday to pick up our stuff. It's kind of a smallish expo, I think you would say. I should give the numbers. The race in total, the entire event is about 3,000 runners. And I actually did have the numbers for each event. I think the marathon, the last time I looked at the numbers, about 350 men, 279 women. The half came in at around 416 men and 727 women. So kind of you got the flip-flop there. More men doing the full.
Right.
More women doing the half. And then in the 5K, it was about 309 men and 522 females. And then, of course, there was the relay, and they also do Clydesdale and Athena divisions, which I'm not sure if those are separate to these numbers or
if they're included.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But that gives you kind of a general feel of the size of the event. So,
Speaking of the expo, which you were mentioning, it was at a different location or venue compared to last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year's location worked out better
in terms
of layout. And yeah, everything was just kind of on, it was on one level, whereas last year's on like a couple of different levels.
Yeah. We were kind of running around this little building. To kind of get everything. And this was more of a standard, just in a big room, pick up all your stuff, kind of shirts around the outside wall. That's the typical.
That's kind of a typical thing. Yeah.
So yeah, so we went there to pick up our bibs, which was no problem at all. We were actually there late in the afternoon. So I think, you know, this is a smallish event. So I don't know if there was ever big crowds, but it was definitely kind of not many people when we got there, but picked up our bibs, no problem. And then you kind of moved through the expo just to kind of get all your other stuff because, the one thing this race definitely has is a lot of perks or swag if you're going to run the race.
A lot of stuff.
Which is very cool, not only at the expo, but post-race too, which we'll talk about. But so you get your bib. And then actually next up was this race gave everybody that did at least the half and the full arm warmers.
Right.
Which was kind of cool. So we have pictures of all this stuff over on our Facebook page and Google+, so you can kind of see everything that we're talking about. But first thing was arm warmers, which were very cool looking, pretty good quality arm warmers.
Yeah.
And they did actually come in specific sizes. So the volunteers there actually had one of each size, so you can kind of try it on.
Right. And double check, make sure they fit. I believe it was like extra small, small, medium, large, I think. They happened to be out of the extra small and small when I came through, but they were making notes of those of us that wanted either extra small or small, and then they would get that mailed out to us. So
yeah. Actually, people had the chance to, I think, pick up some of that stuff this week and in a couple of days, actually, if you want, if you were local, but if not, they were going to mail that to you. So no problem. The other thing, then we went and got our shirts, which were good quality, good looking shirts.
Yeah.
I think our half marathon shirts were green.
Yes.
I wore mine the day after the race. I should remember that.
I know. I was going to say, you've already worn it. So.
But yeah.
Yeah, good looking shirts, comfortable shirts.
Much better quality, I think, than last year.
I would agree, and I would better design as well.
Yeah, the one thing they changed from last year was the logo of the race, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it's kind of weird to talk about a logo, but I really didn't like the logo last year, and they changed the logo, and of course, this new logo is on everything, and I actually really like the new logo.
Yeah, it's a great logo.
Looks good on all their stuff, and it looks good on the website, and I think much better than last year. So, I mean, the shirts just alone were kind of a major step up from last year. Mm-hmm. I think they've got a good logo going forward. For the future, I mean, unless they're going to change it every year, but I don't think there's any reason to do that. So
I think they should stick with this one.
Yeah, so I definitely give them some props on making that change and kind of picking a cool design that looks good on everything. So
yeah,
got our shirts, and then we kind of walked around the expo a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I said, kind of smallish, not much to look at there.
Yeah,
anything else from the expo?
Noon was their electrolyte drink on course, mm-hmm. and so they did have a booth there with you know, a bunch of different flavors, but it they did have the two flavors that were going to be served on course, which I know they always say, you know, you should train with them. Mm-hmm. And I agree, you know, if you're going to be using it on course, but at least it gave you like one last chance to try out the specific flavors
right.
before you were on the course and trying them out. So if it was, you know, if you didn't like them or something, then you knew not to use them on race day. So it was nice to have that option there.
Yeah. And I tried the noon also. I'm still not a fan of noon.
Yeah.
But that's a personal. You know,
yeah. Same here.
It's a personal decision.
So, yeah.
What's your favorite sports drink? But it looks like Noon's doing a lot of races.
Yeah, it does seem like they're heading into a lot of different races. Yeah. So, yeah. Which, I mean, I drink a lot of water anyways on races, so mm-hmm. it doesn't affect me too much, especially for half marathon distance. Yeah. So, yeah.
What else from the expo?
Trying to think about. Oh, one thing we should mention is that you actually don't have to do bib pickup mm-hmm. the day before.
Yeah.
Obviously, encourage it, and it would be... probably easier, you know, to do mm-hmm. it the day before than trying to do it on race morning, but they do offer it on race morning if you need to.
I still encourage you to do it the day before.
Yeah.
Because if everybody showed up on race day to pick up the package, it would be a disaster.
Right.
But yeah, but at least, you know, if something happens or you absolutely can't make it, it's nice that you have that option.
You do have that option.
And then the last thing at the expo was basically you headed across the street to pick up your free bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were doing the half or the full marathon, you actually got a free bottle of wine.
Yep.
So each individual person, mm-hmm. not
it's included with
we're not talking about a glass to taste at the end or anything.
Yeah,
we're talking
no,
about
an actual bottle of wine. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so the last thing I guess I'll just mention it now is you'll get a recovery jacket at the end, which we'll talk about. But in terms of you register for this race and the stuff that you get, you know, you get your race shirt. You get arm warmers, which mm-hmm. is pretty unique and pretty cool. You get your own bottle of wine, mm-hmm. which is super cool and pretty unique. I mean, I've seen a lot of races that are, you know, they'll give you bottle wine for kind of age group winners and stuff. I see that quite a bit. But to get your own bottle just for registering and then the recovery jacket, it's quite a bit of stuff that you get.
Right.
So I give them pretty big props for having some cool stuff to kind of go along with the race.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into kind of race day. We were actually... It's funny, we actually had another event to get to in Modesto on Saturday night. So we actually ended up staying in Modesto mm-hmm. that night. That wasn't the original plan. We kind of forgot we had this other engagement. So it worked out.
It actually worked out.
Super nice. So we stayed the DoubleTree Hotel there because that's the big hotel that's right there. Mm-hmm. One block from the start, two blocks from the finish. And it's actually a nice landmark when you're actually out there running the race. But we did stay overnight. So race morning was super easy because mm-hmm. it was just... walk down the street and around the corner. And
yeah, just a couple blocks. You're right there.
So it was very nice being able to sleep in by race standards and just kind of walk on over. So I worked very well for that. But headed over to the start line and it's pretty easy. I didn't actually walk around the area too much before the race because we
didn't
were
really
just
have
at
to.
The hotel.
Yeah, so it was right there.
Didn't check a bag or anything. Mm-mm. Actually,
they did have that there, but we didn't check a bag.
Yeah.
Plenty of port potties. Which we didn't have to use.
Yeah, I didn't even go over
pre-race,
there.
Pre-race, so.
The nice thing about having the hotel right there.
Yeah.
And just walking over. So that works out very, very nice. So we just kind of stood around and basically waited for the start. It was going to be a 7 a.m. start for the half marathon and the marathon. Mm-hmm. They go off together. Which we did at 7 a.m. This is a very flat course.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the, for me, I think it's part of the appeal of this race is it is a very flat and fast course.
Mm-hmm.
You have one hill out on the course that you're going to run twice
right.
on the out and on the back,
mm-hmm.
Which is, we mentioned it before and we mentioned it last year, it's Mount Modesto.
Mm-hmm.
It has the towering elevation of, I believe it's 113 feet.
Right.
So the mountain we refer to is always, it's an overpass.
Yeah.
So you just basically got to get on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So and then come back.
Yeah.
Later on.
But they do have the sign there that does say Mount Modesto and elevation 113 mm-hmm. feet. And I do crack up every time I see a picture of it or every time I see the sign, because it's, you're just running over an overpass. It's funny. We actually talked to a woman in the elevator at the hotel in the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. She was asking.
Knew nothing about the course.
Right. And she was asking us if we had run it before. And
yeah. Yeah. And she's like, I didn't do any hill training. We're like,
you're like, you don't need it.
You don't need it. You're good.
Right. And I said, it's flat. I said, except for one little hill, which is basically an overpass. And she's like, well, little is a relative term. I didn't do any hill training. I'm like, you're going to be fine. I'm like, that's it. Literally, it's just the overpass in one direction and then the other direction. And like, that's it. That's it. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, on course early on, you go over Mount Modesto and you get out there and then you basically head out into kind of some orchards.
Yeah.
Where you're kind of running along two lane road. Out there, like I said, nice and flat, mm-hmm. Out in the orchards. And it's kind of a nice general feeling out there, I think.
Yeah.
I don't consider this course a scenic course.
Mm-hmm. I'd consider those miles scenic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where the orchards are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other people I talk to would consider that area scenic.
Yeah, I know. I guess I'm kind of the weird one. But,
right. Yeah, he's just weird.
In a lot of ways.
They did have pacers for... Yeah, that's right. Last year they had them for the full marathon, which I know some of us used... for the half marathon until mm-hmm. we split off because we share the same course up until what, like seven and a half, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And then we split off. So I know last year, I think both of us actually used a marathon pacer mm-hmm. up until that point, and then obviously on our own after that. But this year they not only had that, but they also incorporated half marathon pace groups. Yeah. So it was nice to have that as well.
So you had lots of pace groups. I mean, the nice thing is if you were doing the half, you actually had quite a few options because you could run with a half marathon pacer. Or if that time didn't exactly work out for you, there might have been a full marathon pacer that maybe would have been more along your time. And then you could have run with them at least for 7.5.
Right.
You know, you'd be on
although
your
then
own
you'd be on
that.
Your own after yeah. that.
But it's kind of nice to have somebody to pace you, even if it's just for 7.5.
Right.
Because it kind of sets you in that, you know, don't go out too fast, but you're not going to go out too slow and kind of sets you in a pace that you don't have to think about. And then,
yep.
then the last six, you can kind of go by feel and. Either you're either fading at that point or you feel better
than you thought or you're just staying right on course and you're like, okay, I'm really pacing myself well.
Yeah. So that was an improvement over last year, although mm-hmm. there was no issues with it last year anyways, but that was cool.
Sorry, cut you off, but there are some spectators on course. You know, it's not like every single area is lined with spectators, but there's like different groupings. And so it's you know, it's not lonely out there, mm-hmm. You know, the entire time in terms of having people, you know, cheering you on and everything.
Yeah, and they do actually designate a couple spots along the course for spectators. I was going to say visitors.
Visitors.
Do you like to visit the race?
Yeah, sure.
No, for spectators, you know, it's a couple of spots where there's some parking there and you can get to pretty easily. So that's kind of nice. But yeah, it's basically you're just out there running and it's flat and it's nice. And if you're, you know, you're chasing times, it kind of works out.
Yeah.
You know, you get to the split at 7.5 and it's kind of funny because... It's kind of like a T when you get to the split mm-hmm. and it's literally you get to the end of the street and the half goes left and the full goes right. And there's an aid station right there on the left. And it's funny because there's porta potties directly in front of you.
Yeah.
So you can actually see them down the road and, you know, whether there's a line, no line, you can decide if you need to use a porta potty. It's kind of a good place to use it. They actually had porta potties out on several places on the course.
Yeah.
So
like almost every single aid station, if not, or at least for the half marathon course, if not every single aid station, they did have porta potties or close to.
And I know one spot I saw early, they actually had quite a few of them.
Yeah.
So for a race of only 3,000, I mean, I think I've seen races with 10,000 that had less.
I have.
Porta potties.
I have. Yeah, for
so
sure.
This is actually really, really
right, I'm
well
picturing
done.
One right now. And yes, they had less. So very good access there. Eight stations, mm-hmm. roughly. I mean, the first, I'm trying to think. First one was like at 1.5 or something.
Yeah, because it's the 5K also.
Yeah, but they're roughly every like 2 to 2.5 mm-hmm. miles. So they're spaced out pretty well.
No issues with the aid stations. Volunteers were great. Mm-hmm. They had plenty of water or noon if you wanted that.
Right.
They were really great. No issues. I mean, I know for me when I was kind of coming along to aid stations, it was pretty, you know, things were really spread out. So there was no kind of big clumps of people really hitting aid stations. So, you know, they're fairly small aid stations, but plenty of water, plenty of noon, whatever you need there. So that's good.
Yeah, I think the only one, the first one that I came up on, we hadn't really spread out at all. Mm-hmm. And so I know they got hit pretty hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kept up really well, but they were like, you know, running, you know, and I'm like, you know, like poor them. But they did an excellent job. So, but they got hit pretty hard when we came through for the first aid station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of get through mile 7.5 and, you know, if you're doing the half, I can't talk about the full course because we didn't do it.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure it's just more flat running. But for the half, you know, 7.5, you make that split, and it's kind of basically just the road home, which is, I mean, it's kind of weird because you kind of go straight for a while and then it's one big right turn and it's basically straight home almost to the finish line.
Right. You're basically looping back around, making a big loop around the orchards and then doubling back on part of the course that you've already done. Yeah. Up Mount Modesto. Although Mount Modesto feels a little bit steeper the second time around. Although I think it actually is, right?
I think it's steeper when you go on out.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, you're right. It is actually steeper when you're going out, but it feels harder to me when I'm coming back because I guess because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, coming back, you go over Mount Modesto. And when you get into that 11.5 and 12 mile mark, I mentioned the hotel earlier because that DoubleTree Hotel is kind of, I think it's 10 stories tall. It's kind of the tallest thing in the area. And you can actually see it from, you know, 1.5, 2 miles out. So knowing that the hotel is right next to the finish line, basically, you know, for me, I was looking ahead at the hotel and going, okay, I know, I got to run.
It's like right there.
Yep. So I knew exactly where the finish line was, which was kind of nice in my head, I guess. I mean, you know the distance that you got to run because, you know, you're tracking your mileage and stuff. But yeah, it's kind of nice knowing where that finish line is going to be.
Right. Yeah. They did have two goo stations, I guess I'd call them stations. Although the first one I almost missed because it was right after we split at that 7 and whatever mile mark. Make the left, and then, you know, that water, that aid station's right there, so grab my water, keep going. There's this little guy, maybe like 10 years old.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd call him little, right? 10 years old, and he, like, asked me if I want something, but I wasn't sure what he said, and I saw him reach out his hand, so I actually thought he was going to, like, high-five me. So I went to high-five him, and I came back with the goo. Apparently, he was the goo station, so I was like, oh, sweet. I just got a goo. There could have been other people around, but right. I just wasn't really paying attention. So that was like the first aid goo station area. So I think there's just kind of like a lot happening right there because it was like, okay, we're splitting. Okay, there's bathrooms there if you need it, which I mean, I didn't stop there, but there's bathrooms there. There's an aid station here. And then it's like, oh, goo, you know, so it kind of like snuck up on me. So I don't think you even saw that area.
No, I didn't see goo there at all, but I was, to be honest, I wasn't focused on that at all. I didn't even think about it. I think I grabbed a drink. At that point in time, but other than that, I kind of just flew around the corner and kept going, and that was it.
Yeah, and then there was one other
goose station. Later on,
yeah, and that one was clearly
easy.
Obvious.
Yeah, that one was easy to see.
Yeah,
even if you're not paying attention.
Right, that one is really obvious. So,
yeah. So, I mean, should we get to the finish line? I guess.
Yeah.
Nice finish line. There's lots of people kind of either side of the street. Get across the finish, which was nice. Immediately,
it's always nice.
The finish line. So I was trying to. I'm thinking ahead to other things.
It was nice. I can't remember, knock on wood, ever coming across a finish line and not thinking, oh, that was, thank God, that was good.
So yeah, they had water for you immediately across the finish line. And after that was medals, right? And then you got your recovery jacket.
Right.
After that, which was still...
Which was all very nicely folded.
Yeah, it was still folded. They didn't open them up or anything like that.
Not that it was cold. So we didn't need to put a jacket on. I don't think I saw a single person with it on right then.
No.
Just because it was warm.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, for those that don't know, Modesto is a place that if you come out there and run in the summer, you're probably going to be hitting temps of 90, 95 on a regular basis in the summertime.
Yeah. Probably triple digits in the summer.
Yeah. So that's why this race is in March, to get some cooler temps. On this particular day, it was the type of day where it was, you know, you didn't need a throwaway. You didn't need anything at the start of the race. We just left from our hotel with exactly what we were going to wear.
Yeah, which was shorts perfect. And a short sleeve shirt. Yeah.
So it definitely got warm towards the finish. Mm-hmm. And then that's for us that are, you know, we're out there for 2 hours. If you were doing a longer half marathon or you're doing the full and you're out there 3, 4, 5, I think we can definitely call it a hot day by the time you got in.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times on the course, I was actually hanging on the left side of the road because there was shade there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was either... kind of one section where you're going out towards 7, there's some trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then even at mile 12, there's big bushes in the middle of the road that just cast
just enough
shade.
Yep. Everybody's over right in that little area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I felt like once in a while, you know, you see somebody out on the right side of the road, I feel like yelling at them, hey, get over here. It's much cooler, you know, but.
maybe they're cold.
True, possible. so yeah, you kind of got to get to the shade when you can. I mean, that's a little tip, I guess, for this course is probably most of the time you're gonna be hanging on the left side trying to grab the shade. But yeah, it was definitely a warm day. So a recovery jacket post-race wasn't needed. Had it been cold, would have been pretty awesome. The recovery jackets, they're white. They have a logo on the back. Kind of better. We got jackets last year, a little different type. I actually like the look of them this year, but they're a little bit different type of material. They're almost paper-like in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. any other way than to say paper. Like, mm-hmm.
They do have a hood.
Yeah, it has a hood. It's long sleeve.
Which is different. So,
and it's one size fits most. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to deal with the sizing. None of us actually tried them on, so I don't even know.
That's a good, what yeah. Yeah.
Feels like so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think because of the weather, nobody needed it post-race there. I think for me, mine's going to end up being a throwaway for a future race.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know what else you would do with the jacket, but it's, yeah. But it's another perk of, yeah, it's of doing the race. It's
yep,
another
exactly. Just get, more swag. So. Yeah. So after you get through where they give you the recovery jacket, then you head into, I guess, where they have like the post-race runner's food.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is like going shopping.
Yeah. Cause, and they literally give you a shopping bag right at the beginning, which I remember from last year because I really liked the fact that I had something just to put the stuff in,
mm-hmm.
you know, so chocolate milk. I think another water bottle if you needed more mm-hmm. water, fruit, I think like banana, mm-hmm. those little clementines, a little bag of chips if you wanted, I think a granola bar. Does that yeah. sound about right?
Yeah, I think you yeah. covered it all, actually.
Yeah, so that's kind of the runner area for food.
And they did tell you take one, you know, per person, yeah. which I think everybody around me did. And I,
right.
what I wanted, I took one of, but it still ended up, I still kind of walked away with bags of.
Because
popcorn there, too.
Yeah. So sorry. Before, that's okay. So, no, because I was going to say, cause after that, then they had coconut water. There was like two other people with coconut water, so then you can take a coconut water. Yeah, and then they had another table with like miscellaneous, mm-hmm. and they had like the bag of popcorn, which isn't like this massive bag of popcorn, but it was a good sized bag of popcorn. And so if you took that, I mean, that alone like almost took your whole bag up.
Yeah, and
if you grabbed that.
When I walked through there, the lady in front of me, she said, we can take the popcorn. The whole bag. And I was kind of the same thing. And they're yeah. like, yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
That's a pretty big bag of popcorn, but thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of stuff right there.
Yeah. And if you didn't want the popcorn, they had other stuff. They had like gum. And more.
That's kind of random.
Like some candy, like Skittles and things like that. So you had your choice there. But yeah, I mean, once you came through there, even if you just took your one allotted thing, I mean, your grocery bag was pretty much full. So that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. So let's see. Coming out of that area, I mean, I guess that's what I would call like the secure official, zone, right, you know, for runners. Then you come out of that and it's just, there's all kinds of stuff mm-hmm. that you can go into.
Yeah. So they actually had food trucks at yep. the finish line. If mm-hmm. you wanted to buy food, I didn't pay too much attention to it.
Yeah.
But, they had that. They have some stuff for the kids there.
Yeah. Like the jumpy houses, jumpy house, climbing wall.
Yeah.
Some other jumpy stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call it.
They had some post-race massages mm-hmm. available.
Right. That were complimentary.
Right.
You didn't have to pay for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might have to wait a little bit, but you didn't have to pay for them. They had music. They had bands playing on the stage.
Yeah. So they actually have yeah. a bunch of tables under a big old canopy and
right.
a band playing there. And you can just go in and go over there post-race and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
They had a secure area with the alcohol because right. each runner got one beer and one glass of wine post-race because yeah. there was actually little tags on our bibs
yep.
that you can to take be able over to do there. That. You
well, did your ID. Every runner 21 and over.
Yeah.
yeah.
Had to be 21. No children drinking nope. wine and beer at the finish line. Yeah. So.
And they had quite a few food trucks. They had yeah. they had changing tents, a men and a women's changing tent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one men, one women's.
Men and women changing yeah. this tent.
They also had free hot coffee and hot chocolate.
I didn't see that.
They had
that.
What else did they have? The timing company, which we've mentioned before, SVE Timing.
Mm-hmm. Who do a very good job. Who in do, all the
yeah, they do a great job. I think we've said that like every single time we mention them, but they really do a great job. They have some tablets there where you could actually punch in your bib number mm-hmm. and look at your results. So it wouldn't tell you necessarily your placing, but it would give you your time. So they had that. Trying to think what else. Oh, and then they had some other area from one of their sponsors. I'm not sure which sponsor that had like Gatorade and mm-hmm.
so there was
more
a bunch
chips.
More
like it's a whole other section.
Yeah.
yeah, just open to anybody. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't just like runners, just anybody. And you can go and, you know, take a Gatorade or I forgot what other drinks they had and like some other chips and stuff.
They had regular water, Propel, and Gatorade.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I paid attention.
Yeah. I just remember they had little bags of chips and I grabbed one that was something I hadn't seen before. And I was like, oh, this is a perfect time to get something I haven't had before. So.
Yeah, I grabbed the Gatorade because I love Gatorade. So I was like, awesome. And it was a pretty large size Gatorade.
Yeah, it's a large size. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you come away with a lot. They also had photographers out on course.
Mm-hmm.
Photos, official race photos are free thanks to their sponsor.
Yep.
And what they even do at the finish line is they actually print the photos. So you can actually They put them actually on a wall. Think cruise ship style, if you've ever been on a cruise ship.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
They do the prints and they put them on a wall. And if you see your photo, you can just grab it and that's it. You don't have to pay. It's free. You have a nice little print. And then, you know, if you don't see them or you can't find them, they're available online. Or actually not yet, but they will be, I think, by tomorrow. So that's actually super cool mm-hmm. to kind of have the photos. And right there, we actually, neither one of us had photos, but we found a photo of a friend.
Yeah.
So we grabbed, his photo.
That because he had already left.
Yeah. Have to get that to him actually now that we think about it.
Yeah.
What else? They also had age group awards.
Right.
There, which was, I think, a hat, right?
A visor.
A visor.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always do something special at Modesto if you qualify for Boston at the race.
Yep.
So
they have a license plate frame.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have something else as an option, which is escaping my mind right now. But I believe last year they did either a shirt or a license plate frame that says, you know, IBQ'd at Modesto Marathon. Yeah. So that's pretty cool to have that.
We didn't mention the medals. Medals, pretty cool looking. I actually mm-hmm. like them. Nice ribbon. I really like the 5K medals. It's kind of a vertical style.
Yeah.
And it's nice that for a race like this, that 5K runners got a medal.
Yep.
Because, you know, most races do not give you medals for a 5K. So right. that was pretty cool. What else?
I'm trying to think of, I mean, there was just one of the local grocery store chains mm-hmm. is one of their big sponsors.
Oh, you're talking about the cart?
Yeah. The cart. If anybody's looked at our pictures, they've seen that.
Or
somebody follows me on Instagram.
Yeah, you have to see it. It's kind of a little hot rod vehicle, but it's a huge, giant shopping cart.
Yeah.
So the guy actually hops up there in the kind of the seat of the shopping cart.
Like where you would put your kid.
Yeah, and that's where you basically drive the vehicle.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So basically a super loud hot rod, which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of the post-race. We actually did hang around for a little bit, kind of talking to some people that we knew. And checking out the food and kind of snacking. They had some, I remember some people we know about, some fruit cups and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they had some they had some fresh fruit cups, pretty big fresh fruit cups.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some horchata, if anybody knows what that is. And that was awesome. It was like ice cold. And they had a bunch of different fresh juices. So,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what if we missed anything. We actually, I don't know if you mentioned, we actually didn't go into the alcohol area.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it was pretty big.
Yeah, there was a lot of people going in and out. I kind of skipped it just because, actually, at first I was going to go grab a beer, but we were heading back to the hotel, which was 2 blocks away, and going to grab breakfast there. So I didn't feel like
having a beer and grabbing breakfast. A beer
and then going to eat breakfast seemed strange to me.
Right.
So I passed on that. And then, hey, who cares? We had our own bottles of wine that we could just, you know, knock out later. So
exactly.
It works out. I think they also did live runner tracking.
Yes, that's
online,
right.
Which mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it because I was running it and I obviously wasn't going to follow myself.
Right.
So that would have been, maybe I could have checked my own time during the race.
There you go.
That would have been cool.
You could have stopped and checked. Yeah.
And then they did do finisher certificates after the race online. Mm-hmm. So you can download that or print that if you wanted that.
Yeah.
So anything else? Otherwise, let's kind of talk about our own little races, I guess.
I guess the only thing is the goodie bags that we got at
mm-hmm.
the expo itself. You know, there were cloth reusable bags and they had a like
kind
KT tape. They had KT tape and I forgot what the other thing was that I wanted to mention. Well, yeah,
the
KT tape.
The one we wrote down was KT tape because that's kind of unusual to get, at least to me, I've never seen it, a sample in a
I think I've only gotten it one other time. So
that's kind of nice. And they did to do, somebody was there doing KT taping on your body if you wanted that on Saturday before mm-hmm. the race. So
yep.
All right. Anything about your race that you want to share?
Anything about my race? It went pretty well. I mean, I had planned on finishing ideally between 145 and 150.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was hoping for, but I wasn't sure how I was going to feel just because I haven't been running as fast lately as I think I have been in the past. So I was just going to kind of see how it went. Definitely wasn't trying to PR by any means, but I wanted to do about 145, 150. So went out with 145 or close to the 145 pacer. And actually a friend of ours and I actually ran together because he had kind of the same feeling. He's like, well, it's like, I kind of want to do like 145, 150, but just kind of see how I feel. So like, okay. So we went out with the 145 pacer who started very fast. I don't know what he did later on in the race because I didn't stay with him later. But yeah, we were way ahead of it. But and I was pretty much on pace to finish just under 145 and felt okay with that. I mean, I felt like I was pushing a bit, but not like full throttle. If that makes sense, you know, like it was challenging, it was difficult, but, I could have gone a little bit faster. And then, my stomach decided that it had other plans, which, you know,
does that sometimes?
Yeah, it does that sometimes. Hasn't happened in a while, so I guess I was due. And, you know, pulled off to use a porta potty probably at mile, I don't know, 9, 10, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was in and out of there as quickly as I could have been, but, you know, still, that takes a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I did take a couple of pictures. I stopped, you know, momentarily to take pictures of, like, the Mount Modesto sign and just a couple of other pictures on course. And then when I came out of the porta potty, there was this aid station that you hit twice, you know, one coming out towards the orchards and then the second time when you're heading back towards, you know, the finish line. And Amanda, I want to give props to Amanda for being there and volunteering. She's a listener, so she was out there volunteering, and I'd seen her the first time coming out, you know, grabbed water from her. And then the second time came back and she was doing the goo station there. So I grabbed goo and then I stopped, took a picture with her. So, you know, that, you know, and then kept going and I was feeling pretty good. So then I was trying to chase down the friend that I was running with for a while because I could see him. I could see him in the distance. And I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to catch him, but let's just see what happens. So, you know, just saw like myself, like close, like I was getting closer, a little bit closer. A little bit closer, and then I realized you're not going to catch him. There's just not enough time left.
You needed a 16-mile race to be able to catch him. Maybe 15.
Yeah, 15. Actually, 15. Assuming that he hadn't sped up at that point, yeah, then, you know, like 15 would have been perfect. But yeah, just you know, went as fast as I could the last like mile and a half, just to see if I could make up the time for no reason, just other than just let's see if I can catch him.
Mm.
And then once I realized I couldn't catch him, I'm like, all right, you know, so I slowed down a little bit, but then, you know, you're like close to the finish. So then you want to speed up because you're almost done and everybody's cheering. And, you know, ended up finishing, I think like at 145.50 something.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think just under 146, which I was thrilled about because that included a couple of stops for pictures, a bathroom stop, and I still felt relatively good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy with that.
I mean, that's really good considering you just did 22 days before.
Yeah, I did 19 and a half.
Okay.
But
20,
yeah.
I'll keep saying 20.
I know. So yeah, I mean, and I had fun. I had fun, mm-hmm. you know, the whole time with the exception of, I was like, dang it, I have to go to the bathroom and I really don't want to. But other than that, you know, I felt really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will give you props because you did actually finish third in your age group.
Oh yeah, thanks. So. I did. So I wasn't expecting that at all, but I went to go check, you know, our times at the timing area, mm-hmm. at the finish area, and I was just checking, you know, a couple of people's times, and then I was like, oh, they have like the results posted, you know, the top 10 for each age group that has finished so far, and I was like, oh, let me just see how much I missed it by. And I was like, what? I was like, third? And like I did a double take. I'm like, hold on, let me look at that again. I was like, sweet. So then I went over to the booth that had the age group awards and got my visor. And so it was funny because I already had a visor on. I had a different visor, but then I just put this one right on top and then walked back to where you were and a couple of other friends were. Nobody said anything. Completely different color visor. It was like the one I had before was like black with blue. It was like the Modesto visor. And this one's a bright orange. Nope. Nobody said anything. So
we were apparently not the most observant people.
Yeah, exactly.
Granted, we just ran a race. You know, we were tired.
I know. Yeah. So yeah, I had a great race. I can't really say anything. Yeah, I can't really complain. I guess the only thing I would have changed is not had to make a bathroom stop. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I would have changed. So yeah. I had fun otherwise. So yeah, anything you specific about your race?
So my race, I took those days off leading up to the race, which was probably a very good decision in hindsight. I had a plan going into the race. I think I formulated my plan the day before. That's when I actually finally finished on it. So I actually decided to go out with the 205 pace group, but it was actually the 410 pace group for the full marathon.
Yeah.
There was a 2 hour and then there was a 215 and, you know, I didn't think I could do 2 and 215. I knew I could definitely run faster than that. So, I went out with the 410 or 205 pace group, actually made the wise decision of at the start line, actually lined up in front of them quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
because I kind of remembered last year the start area kind of being a little bit crowded and kind of having to dodge in and out of people.
And it is a little bit at the beginning.
At the very beginning.
Yeah. And there's no corrals, like you kind of self-seed, even though they have the
it's self-seated, but they have the big signs that say, you know, 7 minute pace, eight minute pace, nine minute.
Yeah, it's very clear. So
I don't know still why people who are going to walk in the middle of the road decide to go line up at the 7 minute pace group, but
yeah, it happens
and it wasn't too bad, but it was just a lot of people. So I made the wise decision of kind of moving up front, and I figured, okay, the you know, I'll start, what's that going to end up being, 20 seconds ahead of maybe my pace group,
mm-hmm.
And they'll catch me. So started that. I'm proud of myself because at one point, maybe at a half mile, I'm looking in front of me and I see that 2 hour pace group. And I thought about it. I was like, oh, maybe I can do a 2 hour run today. But I thought about it for 30 seconds and I decided, no, I'm not going to do that.
Good call.
Stuck with the plan. You know, it wasn't too long before that pace group caught up to me. And then that 410 pace group just decided to haul it, apparently, because I actually could not hang on to that pace group. And then, you know, I ended up, this was like mile two and three, and they're kind of pulling away from me. And I'm checking my GPS, which is actually on my phone. I'm looking at my wrist. Like, I actually wear a watch and I
right.
don't.
You never wear a watch.
I never wear a watch, but I'm making that motion. Like, I'm looking at my watch. But, yeah, I'm checking my time and I'm, you know, I think a 2:05 is a 9:32 pace, if I have that correctly. And I'm checking splits for these, you know, mile two and three and four. And they're pulling away from me. And 1 mile, I was actually under a 9, and one was 9:10 or something like that. So I was like, holy smokes, you know, these guys are going out way too fast. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to bank time because it was going to be a warm day. I have
right.
no idea.
Right.
You know, the one recommendation I always make for other people is, you know, if you're really set on running with a pacer for, you know, for maybe a full marathon or half marathon and it's important to you, the best thing to do is go talk to the pacer beforehand and kind of ask
what
you're going to do.
Is.
You know, are you going to run even splits? Are you going to try to, you know, finish dead on time? Are you going to try to finish a minute ahead or anything like that? So I was not able to hold on to my pace group, but I was actually ahead of the pace that I was planning on running. So, the shin kind of was always there, but it actually never became painful the entire race. So I was actually pretty happy with how things went, and felt pretty good most of the time. You know, it got warm down at the end, like we said, which just becomes a struggle at some points.
Yeah.
Like I said, just trying to grab the shade, but kind of super happy, you know, got through 7, got out to towards 10. I did see Amanda really quick, kind of like a last minute out of my eye. And I was like, I realized, oh, that's Amanda. I said hi real quick. And then, you know, you kind of do the last turn over Mount Modesto. And like I said, I kind of saw the hotel and I knew where I had to go. So I just kind of kept on it. Didn't pay a huge amount of attention to my time. I knew it was kind of on pace and right there. I did stop for a little walk break, one or two down in the last couple miles, just as I started to tire. And then I actually did sprint out the finish, which I never really sprint out the finish much at all, because most of the time I'm like, hey, whatever it is, whatever it is. So I did actually finish in, I think, 2:05 and some change.
Okay.
Which, you know, like I said, I was going out for a 2:05 and I ran a 2:05. So it's pretty amazing for me just personally to have the goal and actually have stuck with it from start to finish. Truthfully, I was actually surprised that it was over 2:05. I thought it was going to be 2:04 and some change.
Is that what you sprinted?
Personally, I knew I was right there on the line.
Yeah, so you're like, let's try to get it as...
And I think what screwed me up was at the end, I was listening to my GPS and it was telling me I was on 9:32 pace, which would be dead on. But of course, by the end of the race, I ran 13.2 something miles.
According to what you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I ended up...
Just calculating the pace.
Yeah, so I ended up being a little bit off. So I was actually surprised it wasn't 24 or something, but really, who cares about that in the end? So
you mean 2:04?
What did I say?
24. That would have been super fast.
Yeah, so I thought it was a 2:04, but ended up 2:05 something. So I'm super happy. The leg didn't give me any problems. I felt pretty good. I did this race last year. I think I ran it 4 minutes faster. I think I did 2:09 last year. So overall, I was, you know, super happy with the performance. And I actually had a lot of fun just out there running the race. So it was a cool event.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything we want to say wrapping it up?
Wrapping it up, I just wanted to say that it was nice seeing some listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, who spotted us right at the beginning, mm-hmm. when I think you were warming up.
Yeah.
And I was doing my usual warm-up of standing around. So, Karen, we also saw George out there. We saw Aaron, who we saw post-race mm-hmm. after she came through the half marathon and got her time, and Dave as well. Yep. So, and Amanda, of course, who was volunteering. Yep. So appreciate that. So it was nice seeing people out there. So
that's always fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't really have anything else to say except, it's a good race.
Yeah. I think
it's flat.
It's flat. It's fast. If you're going after a qualifying time or you're looking for a PR, you know, the one kind of general factor that could throw a wrench in it is just what the weather's going to be. So if it's going to be a little bit warmer, that's going to throw a wrench in kind of the BQ, but nothing you can do about the weather.
Right, right.
If it ends up being nice, super cool weather, then it's going to be a really good race.
Perfect.
To kind of go out there and qualify, especially if you like really flat courses.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really great race to kind of go out there and just run fast on a flat course. And it's super well organized and the swag was great. And it's a very good size, and it's a very much a community driven event. I know the local running club there is super involved with the race, which is awesome to see, and the volunteers are obviously great. So no complaints about the race. I totally recommend it.
And they do a really good job of like with communication too, not just on Facebook, but emails, you know, leading up to the race, and even you know, post race, we've already gotten some emails, you know, this week about the finisher certificate, about, you know, pictures being available soon, you know, their Facebook posts about the arm sleeves getting mailed out. So they're, I mean, they're on top of things.
Yeah. So yeah, if you ever get the chance to do it, especially if you're local, go out there and do the race sometime. Yep. So, all right, that's the race report. We're going to get to a little bit of feedback. Just before the feedback, just want to mention the official Embrace Running podcast shirts, which we actually both wore our shirts out on the race.
Yeah.
So that's probably has something to do with the fact that we had such a great time. No.
Yeah, legal probably.
Legal disclaimer, shirts have no special powers or anything.
Or do they?
So yeah, just want to mention, started shipping those out, the first orders that we got in. And for those that are in Canada and wanted a shirt, I did actually was able to set it up on the website. So if you are in Canada and you want to order a shirt, you can go ahead and do that.
And we'll ship it to you.
And I will hopefully ship it to you. I've never shipped anything to Canada, so we'll try that. I think there's some customs forms I have to do.
We think we'll ship it to you.
There might be some duty tax involved. I don't know. I was trying to read up on it or something like that, but we'll see. But yeah, so if you're in Canada, that's available. And if you ordered a shirt, it's either probably on your doorstep or it should be there anytime. Mm-hmm. And if you still want to get one, there's still shirts available. So you can just head over to the website and get one. Let's get to a little bit of feedback real quick.
Message received.
So we heard from Beth, who was planning to do the Run the Bluegrass half marathon this past weekend. Unfortunately had a flare up of her plantar fasciitis and, decided to DNS it. She does have a couple of events coming up and so wants to be healthy for those.
Yeah.
I mean, I can sympathize at how frustrating that is, but you know, tough call to make, but you got to do what you got to do.
She does a lot of races, healthy. So I think it's the right decision to, kind of heal up and get better and not.
Yeah. For the next ones.
Yeah. Not screw up kind of all your future races by, you know, struggling through this one race is probably not worth it.
Right. Yep. We heard from Sean, who was wishing us good luck at Modesto and was hoping that we would have better weather than he did for his race. He ran his first 5K of the year in Buffalo. It was cold, by the way. He had a great race, setting a new PR of 21:48, which is a great time, I think.
Yeah, very fast.
Yeah, second place in his age group. And his biggest shocker was that he got 22nd overall out of 500. That's awesome.
That's very good.
Yeah. So he's very happy with that. And he said it proved to him that the training he's been doing really has paid off. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that result when you're putting in the training, the miles, the time, and then...
That's a big thing.
Yeah, you see it all kind of come together. So heard from Carol, who was letting me know about Scream Tunnel sign request for Boston Marathon. So I didn't even know that was something that was happening. So it's signs that can be made if you request and you're one of the... first, I don't know how many hundreds of people that request it, and they can make signs for you that hopefully you see when you're running through that part of the Boston Marathon, which I don't even know that I'll remember to look for it, but I did put my request in, and I'm pretty excited about it. So thanks, Carol, for letting me know about
that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've already gotten several suggestions about Boston, but if anybody else has suggestions about anything to do with the Boston Marathon.
Oh, yeah, keep it coming.
So any advice for you on race day or just visiting the Boston area in general, things to must-sees or must-dos.
Right. So we'll be able to spend a couple days there post-race. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've said it. I'm going with you. So I will be there playing tourist. I'll be there to carry your shoes.
There you go.
I'll be your spectator for the race. So
You'll be my visitor.
No, I mean, I'm super excited for you just to do the race. And it's going to be awesome to be a spectator at the Boston Marathon. But I've never been to the Boston area. Well, neither one of us.
Neither one of us have been
and
to.
I've always wanted to go
to
that area and check it out just as a tourist. So it's going to be fun. So at least we get to be there a few days and kind of check stuff out.
So. Yeah. So keep the suggestions coming. Yeah. And then we heard from Ruth, who actually saw.
Spotted you.
Yeah. Spotted me on the Honey Stinger Facebook page from a picture from the Modesto Half Marathon when I was fueling on course with some kids' shoes. Because they do. Honey Stinger does have some kids' shoes that I like. So
I didn't even know they had kids' shoes.
They do. But... Yeah. they're really good. So, you know, I'm part of the Honey Stinger, you know, hive is what they call it. So I'm a Honey Stinger athlete. So they had posted a picture of that, which was pretty funny because I like have it in my mouth, like trying to like tear it open, which is literally what I was trying to do. And so she spotted me on there. So that was kind of funny. I actually got like, I saw her because she posted, you know, on our page, hey, I saw you. And I was like, what? And then I got like a text from you and, you know, hey, and I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So that was pretty cool. And then heard from Dave, who actually sent us a picture of the Livermore Half Marathon medal, which was one of the several races in the area this past weekend. So nice to see.
Yeah, he did spectator duty at Modesto, but the day before he did Livermore, and I know he said he really liked the race. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's a busy race weekend in this like immediate vicinity, feels like. So.
Yeah, actually, this kind of weekend reminds me of those weekends in October that you get that are just super busy with races and stuff. So
yeah, like there's multiple races within like an hour's distance. Yeah. Which I guess we're lucky to have out here. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to do it, I think, for today. Our next actual race, like you said, is Boston.
Yeah.
So that's in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But we'll have a couple episodes in between then. So we can kind of talk about maybe the lead up to Boston and general running topics. Hopefully there's some more news because there wasn't a lot of news.
No.
This past weekend
yeah.
that interested us at all. So yeah. So that's going to do it.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.